Welcome back to Money Life at Morningstar. Of course, we're on the road courtesy of the good folks at Gainbridge. Remember, you can go to gainbridge.life/survey, take the survey they're doing, and you can get your first, or maybe not your first, free NFT. Gainbridge, get ahead of the curve. And somebody who, well, I won't say he's always ahead of the curve, because he's a deep value investor, which means sometimes you're ahead of the curve or sometimes you're way behind the curve. But wherever he is on the curve, he's always interesting to talk to. I'm joined right now by Michael Campagna. He is co-founder and senior investment analyst at Moris Capital. They are deep value investors. You can learn more about him, the firm, its funds at moriscap.com. Moris, M-O-E-R-U-S. Michael Campagna, it's great to see you. Great to talk to you.
It's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
So, deep value. There have been plenty of times when you and I have talked, and you've talked about how difficult it is to find anything that is deep value. I have a suspicion that the market's activities over the last couple of months have changed that picture. Are you swimming in deep value hog heaven right now? I mean, is this like everything's deep value? Or have we got to go a lot further before deep value really applies to a lot of companies?
So when I was on in November, which was the last time I was on your show, I was talking about how it's easier to be a growth investor because it's you're more exciting at a cocktail party. Well, things have certainly changed in the past 6 months. From an opportunity perspective, though, I still don't think we're there yet. I think, you know, despite all of the disruptions and the pain that has been felt, I think that we were so elevated, in especially in the U.S. and especially in the technology stock area, that we were so elevated for so long that, in my opinion, I think there's still some more room before it becomes interesting from an opportunity perspective.
Well, the other side, from an opportunity perspective for you, deep value is not all about the price. You know, the market going down can take a lot of the froth off of things. It can make things that are growthy feel value-ish, but you're looking for a little bit more there. And of course, right now, the companies are not just facing a challenging market, they are facing higher interest rates, higher inflation rates, all that other sort of stuff. So how much are we setting up for a deep value sweet spot? I mean, are we watching more companies that maybe are in a little more trouble than people recognize?
I definitely think we are, and I think we're setting up for a type of environment that would be really conducive to deep value. We talk about valuations and we talk about fundamentals, and valuations have been elevated, I would argue, for a long time, and we're seeing some of that wash out. But also fundamentals have been elevated in some regards. I mean, we talk about venture capital and these money-losing companies. I mean, there's 10 or so companies that are trying to allow peers to sell trinkets and used clothes and items to other people without taking any fee. So if you have 10 of those companies that are non-economic businesses, don't charge a fee to do this, just literally competing for customers, all 10 of those companies are advertising on Facebook. All 10 of those companies are advertising on Google. Probably 8 or 9 of those companies are renting Amazon web server space. So aside from just kind of the elevated valuations, I think you've also got fundamentals that have been artificially propped up by this long-term era of low interest rates. And I think we're going to see a lot of that flow through to what are great companies like Google that I think have been partially artificially helped by what's been going on.
How long does that take to play out? And does it play out without whatever the next thing is taking its place? Because there's always some new thing out there thinking it's the better mousetrap.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a crystal ball, but if I did, I wouldn't be here. But I think, you know, we don't make predictions on how long or when things will play out. And I think, as I've said on the show before, you know, we try to look at what is and where we are today. And all I can say is, you know, I still think that there's a lot more pain to come in a lot of these markets, and we try to focus on simpler situations where we can identify a company that's trading at a deep discount to its intrinsic value and not based on any contingencies coming in the future or any success of growth or any success of disrupting a market. You know, we're focusing on companies that people have left for dead in many cases because they're not sexy, they're not exciting. They're industrial businesses, they're commodity businesses, they're financial services businesses. These are things that, in a 10-year era of low interest rates have suffered. But, you know, if we are entering a new era of maybe higher inflation, maybe higher interest rates, you know, these businesses that have long been left by the wayside should start to come to life again.
And it's important to note, you're not looking for dead cat bounces, because that's still a dead cat. You're not looking for the short-term stuff. You're not a cigar butt investor. Let me get the last puff of whatever is in there. You are looking for long-term turnarounds. Are they harder to judge right now? Because these economic conditions make it that if a company is, for lack of a better term, down on its luck, it's harder to get up from that in an environment where money costs you more and all the other sorts of things about operating in an environment like the one we're in now.
I mean, you're completely correct about the current environment, but it with what we do, it's actually not harder right now, because you know we're trying to do things in a simplistic manner in looking at a company's intrinsic value, looking where its stock is trading, and trying to have a wide enough gap that we could drive a truck through that differential. You know, we're not in the game of trying to say, you know, I think the market is ascribing X million new subscribers to Netflix, and I think that they're going to outperform or underperform for these 10 reasons. So we're going to make a bet on Netflix subscribers. We're not in that game. We're trying to look at businesses that are generating cash flow here and now, that are good businesses, but that also have really attractive growth prospects that people don't recognize. So, you know, an example of that is we've talked about on the show Arcos Dorados before, which is the massive franchisee of McDonald's in Latin America and the Caribbean. Fantastic growth prospects for that business. It's currently very profitable. It's the massive franchisee of McDonald's in Latin America. It's a fantastic business, but it trades at a massive discount to the U.S. analog, which is McDonald's itself. We're looking for situations like that where, you know, we could be wrong in many regards, but it's so cheap that we still end up coming out okay.
You are also an international investor, obviously, as we're talking about Arcos Dorados. International markets have their own complications right now. And on my show on Tuesday, David Giroux from T. Rowe Price was here talking about how he wouldn't invest internationally at all right now. You can do it all with domestic large caps, get your international exposure that way. Now, you're surprised by that comment from a manager of David's stature. We all were a little surprised by that comment to some extent, but how difficult is it right now internationally? I mean, we do have COVID concerns and we still have a war going on, and neither of those are going away, and you have the same global supply chain issues and all the things that are affecting us here. So what's happening with international markets, and is the deep value picture at all there changing?
Yeah, I mean, I think people always look internationally and think it's more challenging, and it is in some regards, right? So there's different customs and different laws and different ways that you can lose on an investment, to put it nicely. Country by country, there's just different customs that you need to be aware of. But, you know, I think that international continues to be where the opportunities are, and within that, emerging markets especially. So, you know, you think about U.S. large caps that are covered by 25, 30 analysts. Where is there the ability to add insight? Where is there the ability to know something that the market doesn't? In our opinion, it's very tough in U.S. large caps because there's just no ability to have a differential between price and value. In markets like the United Arab Emirates, where we own a company called Imar, there's still some coverage, but there's much less coverage and much fewer institutional investors operating there. It's just a tougher market to operate in. So you can get a situation where, you know, we've been buying a company that we think is worth in the teens at the $3 or $4 range. So I think international is where the opportunities lie, and I think that's where, you know, there's going to be a lot of money to be made.
In terms of value investors generally, the growthy time after the financial crisis of 2008 had a whole bunch of people talking about whether value investing generally was dead. It had people who were longtime value investors changing their definition of what value was and what have you. So as somebody who's here at the Morningstar conference, talking with advisors and potential clients and what have you, where are investors when it comes to value? Like, what is the mood of the people who are talking to you? Because, you know, when we're having conversations or we're seeing stories about value investing is dead, that indicates that people are giving it up or people are moving away from it because they can't sell it. Well, you're in the value business, so who's buying?
It's been painful. you know, I think we've been dealing with the supremacy of growth investing for the past 10 plus years. And, you know, I think a lot of investors, not the companies that are managing money, but yeah, investors themselves have given up on value, because even if you wanted it as part of a balanced portfolio, it's just been such a laggard for so long that it's almost painful to continue to own it. I think, you know, with the first few months of 2022 playing out the way that they've been playing out, and with growth stocks, you know, declining to the degree that we've seen, we are starting to see investors focus more on value and on international as well. But I think, you know, it's still early days, because a lot of people, like you said, gave it up, and you know, people have short memories. Right? Everybody likes to say they have a long memory, but 10 years is not that long of a time. But it feels like a long time, but it's not that long of a time. And a lot of people have given up on our style of investing. And even the people that are left doing it, as you noted rightfully, and I've noted it before on the show, have changed their stripes and redefined how they define value. And you know, that's something that we've never done, and it's been very painful, but it's something that I think will serve us well over the longer term.
Well, Michael, it's never painful to get a chance to chat with you. I appreciate you taking the time out to join us. We'll talk to you again down the line. Thanks so much for being here at Morningstar and spending some time with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Chuck.
That is Michael Campagna. He is co-founder and senior investment analyst at Morris Capital. Want to learn more about the firm, its deep value approach, etc.? Morris, M-O-E-R-U-S, morriscap.com. There's more of Money Life at Morningstar to go. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.